had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then John chapter 14, verse 1, very familiar passage to us as well. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so I just want to remind us today of this very important truth. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Amen. Could we pray? In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch our hearts, our minds, Lord, that you would help us to focus. Lord, this is not the time to be distracted. This is not the time to settle back. This is not the time to backslide. This is the time to press in and to press forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray right now that you would anoint my mind and my heart to speak the words of life into this house, oh God, that we would respond in faith, Lord, that we'd respond in repentance, that we would respond, Lord, allow you to be the God that you want to be, Lord. Fill people with the Holy Ghost today. Lord, let people be baptized more than just those that have already committed in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. We as a people, we are so easily distracted and so easily set off course. However, today, as the watchman on the wall of this church, that I have been given the responsibility and the duty to sound the alarm, that we must remind ourselves that there is a greater goal in mind. And I'm of the mind that we should plan, that we should prepare, that we should educate ourselves, that we should build a good career, that we should take care of our families, that we should take care of our spouse and our children, and we should be good stewards of the things that God has given us. And we should live a life in this life, a life where our light so shine before men, where God, where people will see our good works and glorify our God in heaven. I do believe that we should have a life that is planned out, that is on purpose, and we should try to do our best to reach others and minister to others. But in this world of distraction, we cannot allow ourselves to get our eye off of the ultimate prize today, because God came in the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because there is only two destinations today. There is heaven and there is hell. And what we do between the time of our birth and the time of our death is what determines our ultimate destination today. And so today, when the pressures of life may come in, when the issues may arise, when sin may knock at the door, when the issues come into our life to try to move us off of the mark and try to distract us, with our political system and our financial system and with the system of media that is in our world today and all the terrible things that are being purveyed on a daily basis on social media and everywhere else. We cannot allow ourselves to get distracted that this world is not our home, but we are just passing through. Hallelujah. I want you to know that soon and very soon, I believe the ministry today, the music ministry, they were right on course today. They had no idea what I was preaching. But they started out with soon and very soon. And then we sang another song about heaven. And I want us to realize that this world is not our home. We have got to keep our eye on the prize today. This is not the time to be distracted. This is not the time to allow your offenses to destroy you and to drive you away from the house of God, because we are too close. Paul said it this way: we are nearer than when we first believed. I believe that God is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And so you and I, we've got to keep our eye on the prize. We have got to win as many people as we can. But oh, I've got to be saved. I've got to have my heart right. I got to have my mind right, because one day he is coming back. The Bible says that two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Two will be laying in the bed. One will be taken and one will be left. We've got to realize that it is important for us to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so let me encourage you today that there is a better place, that there is a better world beyond this one. There is a place of eternity. And it's such a hopeful thing when I think about it, because I hope for heaven. I hope for heaven. I was riding along with my sweet wife last night. We were going to get a little bite to eat. And I told her this week, I've been working on a project at my house. I know that's shocking. Nobody would ever guess that I'd be working on a project. But I'm doing some Bahama shutters on the front of our house. And trying to finish that project up, and I got it all put together. I bought these shutters. They're like, man, these shutters are crazy. They're like $600-$700 a piece, and I found them on Marketplace for $200 for four of them, and that's a pretty good deal. I love when I find a deal like that, but the problem is they're all the wrong size. But you know what? I'm so stubborn that I drove all the way to Highland Park, picked them up from the lady, gave her my $200, because I knew, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I can make those better. I can change them. I can make the size better. I'm just determined enough to know that I can, it may take me longer than everybody else, but I can do it. And so the last one, I saved the hardest one for last because it's the biggest window. And so instead of just adding a little bit to each side of the shutter like I did the other ones, this one was too big and it was going to look so odd if I just added like 6 inches to both sides. And so I decided I was going to put a brace down the middle of those slats. You know, it's got the little slats, and I was going to put a brace down it, and I was going to run it through my table saw and just cut it right down the middle. And I was going to come back, and I was going to spread it out and make each style the same size. And it was a job. It was a job. And then the shutters aren't the right width of wood, Brother Ogard. And so I had to get some one-bys, and then I got some quarter-inch, and put them together, and they were the right size, and so I had to glue all that, and I had to bondo it and sand it, and so I'm going somewhere with this. So I got to the end of this. I hadn't painted it yet. That's coming tomorrow. I'm painting it tomorrow. But I got it, and man, it looks so good, Brother Ogard. It looks so smooth. It looked like it was meant to be that way. That's how good. Man, I'm good. Praise God. Not with everything, but I'm good this time. And I had this moment. I told my wife, I said, I, I had a daddy moment today. I looked back at that and I thought, man, I wish I could call my dad and tell him about that. I wish I could show my daddy that, because I know he'd be proud of me. Because, man, I was the best thing since sliced bread. Amen. Man, you say something bad about me in front of my daddy, you're just in trouble. You're ready for a fight. I have a warning for you. Don't do it in front of my mama either. She's here today. But you know what? My heart's focused on a different world. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to allow anything, because God has prepared a place for us. A beautiful place. Amen. You know, we can always use scripture to kind of understand God. And I see him in the very beginning, how he created this place for us to live. It was meant for us. It was a paradise, as we call it. Genesis 2 and 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow. Notice this, he put him in a garden and he said he made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, that is good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so he put all the good stuff in there. And he just put one thing in there to make sure that the man and the woman that was there had a choice. And so the garden, we can see what God meant for us. It is a blessed place. It is a peaceful place. It is a place of provision. They had everything they needed. They did not have to till the ground. They did not have to answer to a government, thank God. They did not have to pay taxes. And on top of all the beauty, the things that were good to see and the good to eat and the tree of life, now they also had a beautiful communion with the Creator. And he would come through and he would talk with them in the cool of the day. And so God wants to have this relationship with us. When he came to earth and he died on the cross for you and I, he shed his blood so that we could be restored to a paradise that was no longer ours. He wanted us to be restored to a perfection that we could no longer reach. But now we are not perfect in ourselves, but now we are perfect with him. In him, the Bible says that we are complete in him. And so now I want to keep my eye on a prize, because one day I'm going to shed this earthly garb. I'm going to shed this flesh that is always battling me and pulling me down and trying to distract me. One day, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to rise to meet him in the air. And guess what? You either send your sins on ahead or they're going to meet you there. The Bible says that we either fall on the rock or the rock falls on us. And so I want you to know today, this is your perfect chance. If you're in this house and you haven't repented, this is your perfect chance to repent. You already have faith or you wouldn't be here. You can't even come to God unless the Spirit draws you. So God wanted you to be here. That's why you're here today. So you can repent. Now you have the opportunity today to go down in the waters of baptism, in washing, in baptism in Jesus' name, and have all of your sins removed and remitted. And then you can rise in newness of life and be resurrected to a new man, to a new woman in Jesus, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking with other tongues. But here I am today. If you haven't had that, you got to have it. You got to have it. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible does not tell us just to believe and be saved. It says believe and be baptized. Amen. And so here today, you don't just need to make a confession of faith today, but you need to put feet on your faith, and you need to get in the water and be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to lift your hands and be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, now let me turn my scope towards some other people today. Amen. You've repented. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. You've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have taken on the attributes of Scripture through holiness. You've been around a long time. But let me sound the warning alarm today. Do not allow the troubles of life, the issues of life, to make you cold in your spirit today. Because if you're not careful, you will trade something beautiful for something so temporary and so cheap, and it won't last, and it'll bring heartache and pain and suffering. And so today, whatever you got to do before you leave this house today, you need to find a place of renewal. You need to go back to the old landmarks. You cannot allow offense and hurt and wounds and problems and sins to pull you to hell, because I promise you that sin will not be there. And so today, don't sell it so cheaply. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We see they traded paradise for a fake promise. The enemy twisted the words of God and said, you shall not surely die. He added one little word, three little letters, and changed the process of their thoughts into thinking that now they were going to achieve something instead of lose something. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. Immediately they had shame and they had regret. Immediately they knew that now everything they knew just a few seconds before are now transformed into something that is shameful. All the beauty of yesterday is now in the dirtiness of the moment. And I'm telling you today, let me sound the warning bell today. Let me stand on the wall this morning and say, you have got to beware. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant. You've always got to be on the watch, because you have to realize that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't trade the temporary for the eternal. Don't trade it today. It's not worth it. The moment it enters your life, you will realize, oh no, what have I done? Amen. Because God did not mean for us to live in sin, to be shapen in iniquity. He wanted us to live in a paradise. He wanted us to live in a place where he could commune with us. He wanted us to live there in a beautiful place. Amen. He didn't want us to have to work the ground and till and pull the rocks out and mess with the briars and the thorns. He didn't want us to have to worry about the future. He gave us everything we needed. Everything we needed. But yet, they only saw the one thing they could not have. Amen. I just came to remind you today that you're born for a different world. You got to keep your eye on the prize. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been facing. Well, keep your eyes on the prize. You don't know what they said about me. Well, you got to keep your eye on the prize. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through in my health. Well, you got to keep your eyes on the prize. Well, you don't know what my spouse said to me. You don't know what my friends said to me. You don't know how they ignored me and how they hurt me. And you don't know the financial issues I'm facing, but you got to keep your eyes on the prize, because let me remind you that this life is so short compared to eternity. Anything that you have to suffer here, anything you have to go through here is nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And so whatever I've got to do to make it there, Jesus himself said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Because it's better for you to go into eternity without it than for you to go into hell with it. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Because it's better. It's better to go into eternity without it and make heaven than it is for you to live with it and go to hell. Amen. Hear me. I'm crawling up on the wall today. There's so many distractions, but you were not born for this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do not allow yourself to fall in love with something that is so temporary. Oh, it's not going to flood with water again, but I promise you it's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. Heaven and earth will pass away. There will be no more time, and there will be no time to make it right. But oh, we got to make it right today. We have got to renew our view on the prize. I am reaching forth for something that is greater. Amen. Abraham was born for a different world by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. We are not born for this world. This is not our home. We are just passing through. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize. We talk differently. We're strangers. We have different customs. We dress differently. We act differently. We long for a place we call home, but we've never been there. Amen. Praise God. So here today, let me remind you, there is an urgency of the hour. If you can't read the headlines, if you can't hear the news, and think, what is going on? We are surely living in the day when good is called evil and evil is called good. Parents are having to battle school boards because they are putting in the curriculum and the libraries and the books things that children should not even have to think about, much less read about. There is a debate in our society whether people that are in the adult entertainment world should be able to display their acts in front of children. I've even read articles where, quote, churches, they're not real churches, but, quote, churches have allowed this in their buildings. If you don't think that we are living in the last days, then you need to wake up. Amen. If you're playing with some things today that are going to destroy your spiritual walk, you better wake up. If you're doubting whether you're going to commit fully or not, you better wake up. If you've been toying with the idea of stepping back and stepping out and compromising and moving away from the truth, you better wake up, because this is not the hour nor the day for people to step away. Amen. We must feel the urgency of the hour. Revelation 10:6, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be no time no longer, that there should be time no longer. Amen. There are two clocks that are ticking today for every one of us. Everybody say, for me. Point to yourself. There's two clocks for me. There is a clock of your personal life. I don't know how long that would be. I have preached funerals for babies, for children, for teenagers, for young adults. I have preached funerals for people that lived into their 90s, 80s, 70s, and everywhere in between. When I was in Indiana, I thought maybe I should just become a mortician, because that's all I did was preach funerals. In 5 years, I preached over 40 funerals. Thankfully, they weren't all from the church. Amen. But I preached so many that the funeral director would call me to preach for people that didn't have a pastor. But all ages, all reasons, it's amazing what takes people's lives. Man, we had Brother Potter here. He was up on a ladder, 15 feet above his kitchen, fell all the way down. Didn't break a thing. He was sore. Next week, he was in church. Amen. Amen. Now he's wandering around somewhere in Oklahoma, chasing some livestock somewhere. And we miss him. But in Indiana, we had an 18-year-old boy fall off a 6-foot ladder and never wake up. Perfectly healthy. But you never know. So today, there's two clocks. The first one is a personal clock. Brother Easter mentioned it last week. I don't know how long yours is. Amen. My daddy had his first heart attack when he's 50. I'm 53, so every time I get a little indigestion, I'm like, oh, Elizabeth, this is the big one. Here I go. Only the old people will know what that is. The old carnal people. My mama had a TV, so anyway, there you go. It's okay to have fun. But there is another clock in our lives. That's the eternity clock. It's going to sound for everybody one day. And you never know when that is either. No man knows the day nor the hour. So today, I can't tell you which one is going to come first. Your personal clock or your eternity clock. But I will tell you that your time to get right is now. Jordan, if you come, it's now. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. No temptation. No temporary joy, no temporary sin and pleasure is worth your soul. No hurt, no offense, no wound can justify you going to hell. No issue, no trial, no trouble, no battle, no suffering is worth losing out. Because the Bible says this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not even worthy to be mentioned compared to the glory that shall be revealed. So if you make it, all the stuff you could say, well, you, man, I went through some stuff to get here. But you know what? If you don't make it, no amount of excuses are going to flip the script. It's either well done or it's depart. It's either good and faithful or I never knew you. There's nothing in between. Purgatory is a lie of the devil. It's a doctrine of devils. It doesn't exist. No one is going to buy you out of hell. Amen. It's heaven or it's hell. It's yes or it's no. It's enter or it's depart. It's in Romans 13:11, as we stand today, then I open these altars for a time of repentance. And I remind you, if you're here and you haven't been baptized, you need to be. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, it's for you. It's yours. It's easy. All you have to do is repent. Open your mouth in worship and praise. As Brother Easter said, no one ever feels someone or something that is closed. You have to open your mouth. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hear the warning tonight. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the great admonition. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We are reaching for something beyond. Amen. The Apostle Paul is so amazing. I love him. We got a lot of Pauls around here. We got Handsome Paul. Where's Handsome Paul? There he is. We got Old Paul. That's me. Pastor Paul. And then we have the other Paul. Where is he? He's probably guarding the door somewhere. Amen. But I love the Apostle Paul. Because he said, look, I haven't reached there yet. And then he says something funny too. He says, this one thing I do. And so that tells me when Paul said that, this one thing I do, that tells me that everything that came after that, he considered it to be a function of the same action. So he said, this one thing I do. And then he says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So that tells me this one thing we need to do. It's all one action. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm letting it go. And I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. And as I'm doing that, I'm pressing. You feeling pressure today? Good. Because you're pressing. They say before the sound barrier was ever broken, by Chuck Yeager, in that little jet plane, he would press it, and he'd get right there just before, somewhere between 600 and 700 miles an hour. And the closer he got to the sound barrier, that thing felt like, it's going to fall apart. And so he and so many before him would just back off. That's what you and I do. And God's trying to take us to a new level. He's trying to get us to give some things up, Pastor. He's trying to get us to move to a new level. And we're like, I can't do it. It's going to destroy me. I can't make it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. And when he finally hit that sound barrier, boom, everything went still and quiet. He couldn't hear a sound because all of the stuff was behind him. Keep your eyes on the prize. Press. God, I don't think I can make it. Pastor, I don't think I'm going to survive. Just press. Forget those things which are behind. Keep your eye on the prize. I promise you, one day, the trumpet's gonna sound. And when you get there, it's gonna be worth it all. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, it's gonna be worth it all. We see his face. His altar's open. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let hurt. Don't let wounds. Don't let sin. Don't let anybody. Don't let anything keep you from heaven and drag you to hell. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Keep your eyes on the prize today. That's it, hallelujah. Yes. Yorokoshaya. That's it, hallelujah. Oh, please come. Please come. Don't leave it. Don't leave this house. Don't leave this house without praying. Don't leave this house without repentance. Don't leave this house without refocusing. That's it. It's perfect. Hallelujah.
So with every breath that I am, I will sing of the goodness. Though my life you have been faithful,
will all my life.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life
Oh, if you're in this house and you need to be baptized, please don't leave this house.
All my life you have been so.
You're under 18. We'll call your parents. Get approval. It's so important. It's so important.
If you have a big man, yes, you have. Oh my God, if you have a big soul, be brave that I am big. See, I'm a good person, so God, so
This is right to me. Your goodness is right to me.